What made all this so unbearable to the lawyers who gathered to gossip before the first session every morning or over lunch at the Cinnabon in the Galleria food court was that Judge French's gruff no-bullshit attitude was itself pure bullshit. The man who presented himself in public as the embodiment of the law, they thought, was in reality a publicity seeker, an intellectual lightweight, and in the courtroom a petty tyrant, which made him the perfect embodiment of the law when you really thought about it. Of course, by the time Jake's trial began, I did not give a rat's ass about Judge French's failings. All that mattered was the game, and Bert French was an advantage to us. He was essentially conservative, not the sort of judge to go out on a limb for a novel legal theory like the murder gene. Equally important, he was the sort of judge who liked to test the lawyers who appeared before him. He had a bully's instinct for weakness or uncertainty, and he loved to torment bumbling, unprepared lawyers. Throwing Neil LaJudas in front of a guy like that was chumming the water, and Lynn Canavan made a mistake by doing it in such an important case. But then, what choice did she have? She could not send me anymore. So it began. But it began, as is often the case with an event you have anticipated too eagerly for too long, with a sense of anticlimax. We waited in the crowded gallery of courtroom 12B as the clock spun past 9 o'clock, 9:15, 9:30. Jonathan sat beside us, unfazed by the delay. He checked in with the judge's clerk a few times, only to be told each time that there were delays in setting up the pool camera whose video feed the news stations, including Court TV, were to share. Then we waited a while longer while the larger-than-usual jury pool which we had reserved was being organized. Jonathan reported these things to us, then opened up his New York Times and read peacefully. At the front of the courtroom, Judge French's clerk, a woman named Mary McQuaid, fiddled with some papers. Then, satisfied, she stood and surveyed the chamber with crossed arms. I always got along with Mary. I made it my business to. The court clerks were gatekeepers to the judges and therefore influential. Mary in particular seemed to enjoy the second-hand prestige of her position, the nearness to power. And the truth is, she did her job well, brokering between Judge French's blustering and the lawyer's constant jockeying for advantage. The word bureaucrat has a negative connotation, but we do need bureaucracies after all, and it is good bureaucrats that make them go. Mary certainly made no apologies for her place in the system. She wore expensive, stylish eyeglasses and decent suits, as if to separate herself from the hacks in the other courtrooms. This audiobook is continued on Disc 7.